So I appreciated the scripture reading from last week for the opening, and so I just gathered together a few passages through Isaiah that I wanted to read. They're primarily just passages that give a little glimpse of the Messiah and what he'd be like. I tried to capture as many of them that I thought give a balanced perspective of Jesus, both of his mercy and his healing and his like the things that he came that really offer peace and liberation to those that are captives of sin and death, but then also the ones that would capture his discipline towards sin and correction and then the final judgment. So I think Isaiah just really covers all of those things. So anyway, if you want to follow along, I'll just kind of list. I'll say the passage before I read it, but we're going to read from Isaiah 11, 1 through 10. There shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. His delight is in the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge by the sight of his eyes, nor decide by the hearing of his ears. But with righteousness he shall judge the poor, and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall slay the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt of his loins, and faithfulness the belt of his waist. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, the leopard shall lie down with the young goat, the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze, their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play by the cobra's hole, and the weaned child shall put his hand in the viper's den. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. And in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, who shall stand as a banner to the people. For the Gentiles shall seek him, and his resting place shall be glorious. I think in the Septuagint it said that he will stand as a ruler of the people, like a ruler over the Gentiles. Then I'm going to skip way forward to Isaiah 42. This was the passage that had been texted out a while back and just got me thinking about the different descriptions that we have through Isaiah. So Isaiah 42, 1 through 8. Behold, my servant whom I uphold, my elect one in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the Gentiles. He will not cry out, nor raise his voice, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed he will not break, and smoking flax he will not quench. He will bring forth justice for truth. He will not fail nor be discouraged till he has established justice in the earth, and the coastlands shall wait for his law. Thus says God the Lord, who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread forth the earth and that which comes from it, who gives breath to the people on it and spirit to those who walk on it. I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness, and will hold your hand. I will keep you and give you as a covenant to the people, as a light to the Gentiles, to open blind eyes, to bring out prisoners from the prison, those who sit in darkness from the prison house. I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory I will not give to another, nor my praise to carved images. And Isaiah 49. Isaiah 49, read 1 through 13. Listen, O coastlands, to me, and take heed, you peoples from afar. The Lord has called me from the womb. From the matrix of my mother, he has made mention of my name. One thought about that was that God gave, like, Jesus was called from the womb. An angel had come to Mary and had given that his name would be called Jesus, for he would save his people from their sins. That was a prophecy I never thought about before. And he made my mouth like a sharp sword. In the shadow of his hand he has hidden me, and made me a polished shaft. In his quiver he has hidden me. And he said to me, "You are my servant, O Israel, in whom I will be glorified." Then I said, "I have labored in vain. I have spent my strength for nothing and in vain. Yet surely my just reward is with the Lord, and my work with my God." And now the Lord says, "Who formed me from his womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him, so that Israel is gathered to him. For I shall be glorious in the eyes of the Lord, and my God shall be my strength." Indeed, he says, "It is too small a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved ones of Israel. I will also give you as a light to the Gentiles, that you should be my salvation to the ends of the earth. Thus says the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel, their Holy One, to him whom man despises, to him whom the nation abhors, to the servant of rulers. Kings shall see and arise, princes also shall worship, because of the Lord who is faithful, the Holy One of Israel, and he has chosen you. Thus says the Lord, in an acceptable time I have heard you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. I will preserve you and give you as a covenant to the people, to restore the earth, to cause them to inherit the desolate heritages, that you may say to the prisoners, 'Go forth,' to those who are in darkness, 'Show yourself.' They shall feed along the roads, and their pastures shall be on all desolate heights. They shall neither hunger nor thirst, neither heat nor sun shall strike them. For he who has mercy on them will lead them, even by the springs of water he will guide them. I will make each of my mountains a road, and my highways shall be elevated. Surely these shall come from afar. Look, those from the north and the west, and these from the land of Sinim. Sing, O heavens, be joyful, O earth, and break out in singing, O mountains, for the Lord has comforted his people and will have mercy on his afflicted." It's kind of hard to know where to start and stop in these things. They come in and out of the relevant topic that I'm trying to bring forth here. Then from chapter 50, verse 4 to 11. The Lord God has given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him who is weary. He awakens me morning by morning. He awakens my ear to hear as the learned. The Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious, nor did I turn away. I gave my back to those who struck me, and my cheeks to those who plucked out the beard. I did not hide my face from shame and spitting. For the Lord God will help me, therefore I will not be disgraced. Therefore I have set my face like a flint, and I know that I will not be ashamed. He is near who justifies me. Who will contend with me? Let us stand together. Who is my adversary? Let him come near to me. Surely the Lord God will help me. Who is he who will condemn me? Indeed, they will all grow old like a garment. The moth will eat them up. Who among you fears the Lord? Who obeys the voice of his servant? I kind of appreciate this little section here because it just draws attention to the need to hear the Messiah when he comes and to obey him. There are several other prophecies that work that way, but this was one of them, so I thought I'd point it out here. So, who among you fears the Lord? Who obeys the voice of his servant? Who walks in darkness and has no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and rely upon his God. Look, all of you who kindle a fire, who encircle yourselves with sparks, walk in the light of your fire and in the sparks you have kindled. This you shall have from my hand. You shall lie down in torment. I'm not exactly sure what's being spoken about there. I wasn't sure if there's like idolatrous sacrifice, some kind of ceremony that people would have been doing with literally with fires, surrounding themselves with fires to false gods, if that's what he's rebuking. But he's calling attention that people do not obey the servant, that do not trust in the Lord, something about the actions that they're doing are kindling a fire, like for the future judgment, that our sins will kindle the fire of our own judgment in the future, I think is what's being said there. Um, Isaiah 59:15-21. This is kind of a familiar verse, New Testament verse, passage that I think maybe Paul refers to whenever he gives the armor of God. But here it has a prophecy of God himself putting on armor, or I think God in flesh. Then the Lord saw it. I guess I'm starting halfway through 15. Then the Lord saw it, and it displeased him that there was no justice. He saw that there was no man, and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore his own arm brought salvation for him, and his own righteousness, it sustained him. For he put on righteousness as a breastplate, and a helmet of salvation on his head. He put on the garments of vengeance for clothing, and was clad with zeal as a cloak. According to their deeds, accordingly he will repay. Fury to his adversaries, recompense to his enemies. The coastlands he will fully repay. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun, when the enemy comes in like a flood. The Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. The Redeemer will come to Zion, and to those who turn from transgressions in Jacob, says the Lord. As for me, says the Lord, this is my covenant with them. My Spirit, who is upon you, and my words which I have put in your mouth, shall not depart from your mouth, nor from the mouth of your descendants, nor from the mouth of your descendants' descendants, says the Lord, from this time and forevermore. And then another familiar, at least an excerpt from this is familiar, from chapter 61. I kind of breezed past Isaiah, part of Isaiah 52 and 53. There'd be an obvious one there, but I guess we can all remember that. The suffering servant, that's a very important one that I meant to mention as we pass through Isaiah 53. That'd be one to keep in mind, but it's familiar enough that I thought to skip it for the sake of time. So Isaiah 61, 1 through 11. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. And they shall build the old ruins, they shall raise up the former desolations, and they shall repair the ruined cities. The desolations of many generations, strangers shall stand and feed your flocks, and the sons of the foreigner shall be your plowmen and your vine dressers. But you shall be named the priests of the Lord. They shall call you the servants of our God. You shall eat the riches of the Gentiles, and in their glory you shall boast. Instead of your shame, you shall have double honor, and instead of confusion, they shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore, in their land they shall possess double. Everlasting joy shall be theirs. Sorry, I was trying to remember why I was reading so far. I think there is a part of this that I was wanting to include, so I'll just keep reading. For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery for burnt offering. I will direct their work in truth, and will make with them an everlasting covenant. Their descendants shall be known among the Gentiles, and their offspring among the people. All who see them shall acknowledge them, that they are the posterity whom the Lord has blessed. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God. This would be the part that I was thinking of. Just Christ has cleansed his bride, the church, and this is kind of a description of that. For he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom decks himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. For as the earth brings forth its bud, as the garden causes the things that are sown in it to spring forth, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before all the nations. And then one final passage in chapter 63. And this would be familiar from Revelation. Who is this who comes from Edom with dyed garments from Bozrah? This one who is glorious in his apparel, traveling in the greatness of his strength? I, who speak in righteousness, mighty to save. I think that's in quotes. That's like Jesus is saying that. Why is your apparel, and this is speaking to the one riding on the horse, why is your apparel red and your garments like one who treads in the winepress? And then this is the Messiah speaking. I have trodden the winepress alone, and from the peoples no one was with me, for I have trodden them in my anger and trampled them in my fury. Their blood is sprinkled upon my garments, and I have stained all my robes. For the day of vengeance is in my heart, and the year of my redeemed has come. I looked, but there was no one to help, and I wondered that there was no one to uphold. Therefore my own arm brought salvation for me, and my own fury it sustained me. I have trodden down the peoples in my anger, made them drunk in my fury, and brought down their strength to the earth. And that's the end of the quote there. I guess this would be Isaiah speaking from now. I will mention the loving kindnesses of the Lord and the praises of the Lord according to all that the Lord has bestowed upon us, and the great goodness toward the house of Israel, which he has bestowed on them according to his mercies, according to the multitude of his loving kindnesses. For he said, surely they are my people, children who will not lie. So he became their Savior. In all their affliction he was afflicted, and the angel of his presence saved them. In his love and in his pity he redeemed them, and he bore them and carried them all the days of old. And I'll just stop there. If anything, any descriptions of Christ, or there'd be other things that were included in there, if anything stuck out, feel free to share and comment. Anything that might have been encouraging to you. God bless you all.
Thank you, Brother Daniel. That was very encouraging, and I think it's just really nice to look at Old Testament passages that point to Jesus. And while you were speaking and sharing those verses, I think I have to confess I was often lost because my mind kept going to different scripture songs and ballads and things that people have written to try to capture some of what you were doing up there, which is the pointing, Isaiah pointing to Jesus and the foretelling of his coming. There's a one particular song that went through my mind is a song about Simeon from a Christian music artist named Michael Card. And I think my favorite songs are ballads. But anyway, it's a song that talks about the birth of Christ and his fulfillment of some of those passages that you read, particularly of being a light to the nations or a light to the Gentiles. Anyway, I wouldn't try to sing that for you, but the lyrics go, an old man in the temple, waiting in the court, waiting for the answer to a promise. And all at once he sees them in the morning sunshine, a couple coming, carrying a baby. Mary and the baby come, and in her hand a 5 shekels, the price to redeem her baby boy. The baby softly cooing, nestled in her arms, Simeon takes the boy and starts to sing. Now that I've held him in my arms, my life can come to an end. Let's see. Let your servant now depart in peace, because I've seen your salvation. He's the light of the Gentiles and the glory of his people, Israel. And then it goes on to say, now's the time to take him in your arms. Your life will never come to an end. He's the only way that you'll find peace. He'll bring you salvation because he's the light of the Gentiles and the glory of his people, Israel. Thank you, Brother Daniel.
Amen, Brother Daniel. Isaiah is the exposition. Is the Lord quoted from a lot. Just a couple of verses you didn't mention. And it starts off in Isaiah, like chapter 1. The ox knows his manger and the donkey knows his crib. But my people don't know me, showing how Israel was apostate, going away. Just one verse I'll comment on was the one you didn't read, Brother Daniel. And praise the Lord, it was so many powerful verses that you did read. But the one in Isaiah 49, I thought you might read it. You did mention that chapter. It starts out, but Zion said, the Lord has forsaken me, and my Lord has forgotten me. So can a woman forget her sucking child that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yes, they may forget, yet will I not forget you. Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Your walls are continually before me. Okay, us men, we have no concept of a woman in her nursing child. And we have several women in here who are nursing their children. The bond between a woman and her nursing child is so we cannot, it's great, but us men cannot, we can't comprehend it because we're not women. But how strong that is, and then God says, but my love for you, O Israel, is greater than the woman's love for her sucking child. Praise the Lord for his goodness. And Peter says, cast your anxieties upon him, for he cares for you. So let's never neglect and forget the love that God has for us. He had it for Israel, and how much more he has it for his children. So let's be that salt and light. Never forget. Thank you, Daniel. The Lord be magnified.
Thank you, Brother Daniel. I was thinking about this one here. This is quoted in one of the Gospels. Maybe somebody knows which Gospel. Isaiah 9. Verse 1. Nevertheless, the gloom will not be upon her who is distressed. As when at first he highly esteemed the land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, afterwards more heavily oppressed her by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan and in Galilee of the Gentiles. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light has shined. You have multiplied the nation and increased its joy. They rejoice before you according to the joy of harvest. All men rejoice when they divide the spoil. Let me skip down. That ended verse 3. I'll skip down to verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, and the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David, over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice for that time forward, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. I'll just mention that last one, the zeal of the Lord of Sabaoth. Sometimes people will transliterate Sabaoth instead of saying the Lord of hosts or the Lord of armies will perform this. But anyway, right there in that passage, notice in verse 7, it said, upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, and, you know, the promise that was made to David that was when he rests with his fathers, that God will raise up a seed from his own body and establish his kingdom, and that God would call him, or that he would be the son of God. Basically, it says that's in 2 Samuel chapter 7, I think, 12 and 13, I think. But so it says here, upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment forever. So obviously, this is talking about the Messiah, characterize him as Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, and the increase of his government and peace, there should be no end. So anyway, thank you, Daniel.
Yeah. What?